The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What up, everybody? Too Loud TX here. And first off, I want to say thank you so much to Fortnite and the Epic team that put together everything this week at PAX. What an incredible event it was. And also, shout out to Mergasi for winning first place. Holy cow, man, those games were incredible. And to all the players that were there that we got to meet and talk to, thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for your kindness and for taking the time to talk to us and for the amazing games. This week, it just ended up being me and Monster D-Face. And since there were so many pro players that we were talking to at the event, I was just me and him getting to chat, catch up on his time at the Summer Skirmish and my time coming to PAX. And there were some audio issues as I'm on the road, and so I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. We'll get back to our normal quality next week. Thank you guys so much for the support. Without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode.
You're listening to the Fortnite Podcast with your host, Too Loud TX and Monster D-Face.
What up, what up, what up, and welcome to another episode of the Fortnite Podcast. I'm your host, Too Loud TX, and of course, here with me today, the one, the only, the man himself, back from across the country casting the Summer Skirmish event, yours truly. What's up, Monster?
Yeah, we're back, man. What's up, buddy? Dudes, I feel like it's been so long since I've heard from you or got to talk to you guys. So hopefully you guys miss me just a little bit. It's been a crazy last 2 weeks, man.
I missed you. Although I don't know if you got to see it, but CLG Crispy came on and we had a freaking fantastic time talking. We talked for like, you know me, when I get to talking, I talk too long a lot of times, but it was great. I've got to meet him out here at PAX, like I said. So we're going to jump into all that. Obviously, guys, this show is brought to you by DeSoto.com. And you guys that are listening every week, you can see Monster's beautiful face and you can black out mine if you want to on his YouTube channel. Every week you can see this podcast in video form there. So make sure you guys go over there, check it out, support Monster. Obviously, everybody just tweeting at him this week about his tips and his tricks, dropping the craziness that he did over at the Summer Skirmish event. So make sure you guys drop by over there. Holler to the Discord community. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for keeping it alive over there. And of course, we are getting those reviews. I was going to do those reviews this week, but I'm kind of busy, as we'll get into. I'm kind of at a big event, the Summer Skirmish event. I got flown out to PAX, so I will get to those reviews, guys. Thank you so much for all of them. You guys are really the life to the podcast, so thank you so much for listening, for your support, and your kind words that you give us each week. Obviously, bro, you did an incredible freaking job at the Summer Skirmish. I mean, like, applause, everybody, like, I mean, Reddit over there hitting you up, talking about how crazy you're killing it. I've been here at PAX. People have been saying how much you killed it last week. People from Epic themselves, all the pros I've been chatting with, all the players, all the fans I've been seeing. And I mean, dude, how did it feel, dude? How was that?
So first off, shout out to Epic Games for giving me the opportunity. That was, and to this day, obviously, is the biggest event that I've ever been a part of. So for them to reach out to me and like believe that I was able to handle that magnitude of like audience, I was stoked. So I knew that I could do the hosting, right? Cause I like, this is what I do. I stream, we talk. So I knew I could do it. But when you're sitting there and they're like, all right, guys, take one. We're going to roll. This is like live rehearsal. Yeah. Like they're like, act like this is the real deal. We need to see what you got. Dude, your heart sinks. Like, it's like, here you go. In 10, 9, boop, and it's like, bam, bro. Light studio. It was sick.
So, dude, tell everybody, you didn't actually fly to Epic Studios, which is in North Carolina.
No. Yeah, we flew to Burbank, NGE Studios. They have a huge, like, warehouse worth of studio. And there's just multiple shows going down. It was like, surreal. You're, like, on a Hollywood set. Like, it was,
you were the man. How did that, man, that must feel crazy, bro. That must have felt crazy.
It felt good. It felt even better, obviously, after just like nailing the intro, right? Like, that was the hardest part. Like, hey, yeah, like, we're here, right? We're about to do it. After game one, it was like, whew, all right, like, we're here, dude. And then, yeah, just seeing all the feedback, especially the Reddit, like, being able, like, accepting me on everything that I did and all that kind of stuff. So,
it was sick, man. Don't know shoutcasting, there's like major, like, two major roles, right? One is what they call a color caster, which is like, fill in, creates more of the conversation, does the points, kind of like our conversation here each week that I fill in a little of the color, right? And then you have the shoutcaster, the one that's like more of the play-by-play and the analyst, which is what you were and what they brought you in for. Yep. And I thought it was really awesome. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to you, and we have you. I have a picture. I think I posted online of me and my son sitting on the couch, watching you on our big TV.
Come on, I didn't even get to catch that
big
one.
Big TV.
My feed was I literally couldn't.
Yeah, and it was awesome, dude. Like, my son was so, you know how much my son loves you, and he was so happy to see you on TV. And my wife obviously like got into like, what? Like, he's on TV? Like, oh, okay. You aren't just like in your office playing video games all the time. You're actually doing something, you know? So you actually know this guy. Wow. So that was really cool. It was really awesome to see like you be able to analyze in the live motion, right? Because we pull up your tips and tricks. Been doing that before you were even on the show, of your tips and tricks.
Yep.
And then for you to be there and be doing it live was just another step in it. And how did that feel like? Because you are used to doing videos, right? Hey, but a lot of people don't see is you do that every day during your play too.
And it's crazy because like some people come to my videos and they say, or they ask in the comment section, like, do you write a script? What, do you read a script? And I'm just like, no, I just like, I look at it and I break it down and then like, it's natural. What I come out with is kind of what I come out with. And that's our, you know, it's our series right there. It's our episode. So for me to do it like on the spot, like it was even crazier because you're looking at the best players like in the world. And so I was like geeking out because I'm like, damn, like look at what this guy's doing. Like you guys see this? And I was like, let me tell you what he just did. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was super crazy. And you know, I took all the criticism in as well. So I think my second day was better than the first day. First day, the nerves are high. I was super analytical the day after. We did a lot more play-by-play, mixing the analytical kind of analyzing everything. It was fun though, man. It was crazy, but that is how I make my videos. Like I usually just go, just one shot, let it.
I remember asking you about that a long time ago. Like, do you write? You're like, no, I just play the vid, I watch it, and then I watch it again while I record, and I'm just literally watching it, telling the story.
So I usually watch it and then I run it back and I'm like, all right, I know what's going to happen. I know what I want to say. And then I'll just focus on a point. So when I was, you know, in the driver's seat live, it was just like, dude, whatever we could talk about. Like there's all kinds of things. So I just focused on little parts, mixed it up. And I think people enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was so awesome. Obviously, even big names like Nick A30 coming in, dropping you a line.
Yeah, like I couldn't even believe that. Like it was crazy. Because the week before that, Nick A30, I kind of gained his respect. He saw me on the PAX, not the PAX, sorry, the Summer Skirmish week 6 with KP. We did really well. We had a bunch of highlights. He followed me after that event. And he already knew of me on YouTube. And like after seeing me on the week 7, I really gained his respect. And he was just like, dude, tweeting me up. And dude, it was crazy, man. It was really crazy. A lot of people like, they're just like, dang, all right, respect. And they show me a lot of love.
Well, I think it's really cool too. You talk about that, like respect, and it even goes to like level of you, right? Like, and I say that because you got the Cassie event. Not a lot of people get to do that. You have a YouTube channel where 100,000 people follow you. But like, there's also like that appreciation. You're not like, hey, look, you know, like even getting respect from your peers and other YouTubers means something. Oh, like that means that's a great feeling, you know?
Yeah, for me, it feels better to earn my way without having to, ride anyone else's coattails or anything like that. Like, I've always just pioneered my own kind of path and done my own thing. And yeah, it feels good to watch it come around and to have, again, like it all started with Epic Games giving me the recognition and the acknowledgement, you know, to have the developers really say like, oh, no, we see what you do. We want you up here. We know you got this. I was just like, dang, because they don't know what it talks about, right? It's just like they watch you. You don't know you're being watched sometimes. And yeah, it was a humbling experience.
Well, I think everybody enjoyed it, man. It was fantastic to watch. I hope you get to do it again in the future. I'm sure, you know, Summer Skirmish is the first set of tournaments we've seen. And
this is only the start of.
We talked a little bit about it last week with Crispy. Yes. Like, this is only 10 million. There's 100 million total. That means there's $90 million more dollars to give by the end of 2019. Like, it's going to be nuts. Yep. It's going to get crazy. Get ready for a fall event, a winter event, a spring event, a summer event again next year. Like, it's going to be nuts. So hold on. It's just starting. A little inside. Obviously, if you guys follow Ninja, you saw that he tweeted out. He went to Epic this past week. He said good things are coming. He was really excited about it. If you listen to this podcast, this is the information you get from me. I'm at PAX, and much like you, them having faith in you, people have had faith in me and got me here and helped me get to PAX where I am. And I've talked to some of the PR people, big name PR people that are here, and they said the same thing, like, we're just getting started, right? And like, that excites me as a player. It excites me as a podcast host for this show, for this game, because big things are in the work. And like they said, you think you've seen big stuff? You haven't seen it yet. So
you haven't seen
it. How do you feel about it, man? Like, does that not pump you up?
It gets me going, man. It gives me a lot of motivation and drive to continue building on what we started. And dude, some people like travel to this week 8 skirmish as if it was the last event. I'm like, dude, it's like, it's only one of so many. Don't break your back. Do you understand? This is just, they're just opening the door barely, right? They just put the key in. Like, it's only getting started. So, hey, it gets me hyped. And then obviously, we were sitting at the desk with the cube thing. Like, that was live, right? So, it's like, what is happening? You guys saw the ninja clip.
Yeah, it's been nuts watching that thing move across the map. No one knows what's going on. The force, all of a sudden the zero gravity areas that are there, right?
They're doing some wild stuff, and it makes the game feel, it's so much fun. And we're a whole year later, mind you. It's only getting crazy. Right. It's only getting crazy.
Well, you mentioned, and I want to talk about it before I get too far away from it, because I want to get into, obviously, like, you had an opportunity. I've had an opportunity, obviously, thanks to everybody that supports us. The podcast supports us individually as well. Like, you guys are amazing getting us to the point that we've got to experience. This is really you guys. I mean, without you watching Monster's YouTube videos, he doesn't get that recognition, unfortunately. Without you guys listening to this podcast, I don't get an opportunity to go to cool places like PAX. It's really cool because we've talked about this a little bit, but this is a competitive game. There's a competitive nature around it, obviously. And it's they are getting it more ironed out, I'd per se. They'd also come up with these different styles that they want to do where they're changing it all the time. And it's really cool to see the different scoring system. But even being at PAX, okay, and even seeing some of the people lose, and I'll throw out his name because I've had some chance to talk to him after he lost, and his perspective of it afterwards is Vivid. And Vivid said, like, oh yeah, I lost. But dude, he is still so happy, like, to have the opportunity to fly. Like, the dude is expected to win, right? I mean, he's won like three, right? Summer of these 7 weeks, 8 weeks.
He's actually placed four of them in first place.
So, I mean, obviously he's expected to win, but like, he flies out here and, whether it is the setup, he didn't have any excuses. He just like, man, look, I didn't make the cut this time, but I'm having a blast. Like, I'm in Seattle.
I was going to say, I think he has, like, I like his perspective on how he looks at it. He totally understands that this is only, just art. And yeah, he has a good mentality when it comes down to these competition stuff. He came out here, he gave it his best shot for what it's worth, whether it be the environment or it's all experience, and he's absorbing it. And someone like that, they can take that experience, be positive about it. He's going to own, like, he is literally only getting better. Like, you guys are watching him evolve right now already, right? He's going to take this back. The next LAN, he's going to have this experience with him. And it's only going to mold him into better.
Yeah, so this is, like you said, this is the first LAN actually that's happening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so everybody kind of gets an understanding of how these things work. Like, This isn't done by the ESL. This isn't done by MLG. This is actually Fortnite themselves, like they've been doing this whole time, producing this content. And this is the direction they're supposed to continue going from all the information I've received. And they're building their own platform. If you guys are familiar with Riot Games and League of Legends, they did the same thing. And this is kind of being formed into the same thing. But, you know, I bring this up and I bring up Vivid's experience along with talking about, you know, the big, you know, cube we've seen moving across it, because what Epic is doing with the game and by creating these atmospheres is they also are reflecting the type of atmosphere they want around their competitive scene, which is we want it to be competitive and we want people to compete, but we also want to keep it fun. Right. And that is what's been like the biggest pull from being here at PAX that I've seen, is like all these players are very competitive. All of them want to play. They get up at 5 a.m., 3 a.m., wait in line, right?
Yeah, these guys are waiting in line.
And I'm going to tell some stories about that, but they're waiting in line to play. And then some of these guys have come back all 3 days because they didn't qualify. And these are pros. These are like good guys. Like Crispy, CLG Crispy's playing again right now as we're talking, trying to get in for the third week, right? For his third try. Yeah. Just because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of pros. And it's a different setup. It's their first LAN to ever go to. So they're learning from it. But I mean, these guys are Friday night. Okay. Just tell everybody a little about my story so far. Arriving here, PAX. I get my plane ticket like 3 days ago, literally on Tuesday of the week where I need to leave on Thursday. So Tuesday, I get my plane ticket, pack on Wednesday, flat on Thursday, come out here. But Friday night, Friday morning, whenever registration opened at 8 a.m., everybody's standing outside and it starts pouring down rain. And I mind you, here in Seattle, it's 50 degrees, right? So people like me and you from the southern part of the states where it's nice and toasty, we're not used to this. And all these people are coming here as well, a lot of them from different areas of the country. And it's pouring down rain and people are laughing, joking, having a good time, and just like ready to play some Fortnite. Like that's literally what happened. And it was nuts. And they kick it off. And if you guys have followed us at all, followed me at all on Twitter, obviously had a chance to interview a ton of different pros and stuff. But this is what they got. They got this huge tent, okay, and this massive LED screen.
I heard about that.
You massive LED screen, bro. I'm telling you, like the side of a building size LED screen, okay?
In the tent.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
They had it in the tent?
It's outside. So the tent couldn't hold the screen. Okay. The tent wasn't big enough for the screen. So the screen's outside and there's a little like area, like, you know, sunlight between the tent and the, that you can chill on these bean bags that are out there. These fat boy bean bags, super nice. They got like turf everywhere on the ground. So it looks like, you know, we're around the Fortnite scene, you know, all the grass everywhere. And they got these photo booths. You can take photos with all these different pickaxes that are really cool from the game. They got a store, which they have some exclusive shirts here as well.
I was gonna ask, so like how many people did they let in off the line? Like, was there a cutoff?
So I haven't seen the cutoff yet. Last night, after day two, for the day two qualifiers, which is the night event, so that everybody knows, there's three qualifying events during the day. We talked a little bit about this last week. Three qualifying, it's two matches. You get two matches to qualify, 100 people at a time. They do three stages of this throughout the day. At night, the top 32 from each of those move on to the qualifier event, along with three pros that fill in the other, or four pros that fill in the other spots that got invited, right? So they bypass the qualifying things and go go to the main qualifier for that day. So they go to the semifinals, if you want to call it. And last night, the semifinals for day two, literally day one, Friday night, like it was a good amount of people, not packed, right? You had your room to walk around. Last night, bro, an hour before the event, dude, started, it was packed like nuts. People laying like on top of people trying to find a place to sit down. Like it was insane.
To watch it right there?
Oh, dude. Yeah. To watch it. Because so what's happening is all the players are in one building, excluded from everybody. But they're not just like in this building where they just have these cubicles, right? Like in these setups. They're like in this building that is decked out with lights and like backdrops of Fortnite everywhere. I went there today, played today. I sucked, by the way. It didn't do good, but I had a lot of fun. Anyways, but it's like this awesome staging area, dude. Like lights everywhere and like lights are going on during the event. And so like they're getting their own experience and then it's being shot through this room that has probably, I'm not lying to you, 30 or 40 dudes that are staring at monitors that look like they're controlling the space station, bro. Like this thing is nuts. I'm sure you probably.
I was going to say is that I've been watching the streams and just like off the setup with the cameras flying. But I was like, dude, they must be in like one like auditorium size, like stadium,
bro,
basically.
It is nuts.
Slash studio. Like it looked crazy. It definitely looked crazy. I was definitely thinking like this can't be outside. Like,
So this is underneath. So we're all like the tents in a parking lot. All the players are in one building across the street. It's being funneled underneath ground to this, like I said, space station room with all these people that are working their butts off, doing a fantastic job. Shout out to all those guys. And then it's coming over to this event center where people are laying out. And at the event center, though, are the actual casters. So you got them up like on a podium and Zeke's
saw that, and then behind them.
Yeah. Behind them is the screen. And dude, it is nuts. It is nuts. It is so like, and last night people were getting hyped, started chanting names, you know, like it got insane. Like at one point, if you watch day two at all, so Ghost Aiden that plays for Ghost, people were shouting, Aiden, like,
yeah, that was sick. See, I was thinking like, dude, he must hear that, but he can't. Right? He's in a whole, so, oh man, I must be so dope for him.
Humble guy too. I interviewed him today. Humble guy. And
he was funny. He was funny when he did the thing with Zeke. He had like,
with a controller, bro, with a PS4 controller for all you haters out there. Yeah.
I've been getting those questions.
Yeah, he's been representing.
We think about it.
I think if you have good skill, if you play hard enough, and you know, I say all this.
I mean, it shows. You know, it shows. Look,
what you said you put out a tweet whenever you went to California to do the casting. I put out a similar thing when I came here to PAX, and it definitely goes with Ghost Aiden. You put in the hard work, it pays off, guys. Like hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. Like that's the root of it all.
I think I said something like it was a quote like the harder you work, the luckier you get, or luckier you seem to get, something like that. You know, it's like a troll tweet, but it's like luck and hard work correlate. You know, so they say
100%. 100%.
Right.
So yeah, it's been a blast, man. It's been a really cool event. Obviously, Epic themselves is out here doing things. So they have every day.
Yeah, they're out there full force, man. Get in there.
So every day, this is what you get for free here. Okay, this is free. This is included in just walking in the Fortnite booth. There is a Der Burger food truck in the corner, and in the corner you get a free burger, free chips. All right. Or you can have a free chicken sandwich and free chips, or you can have a veggie. They have a veggie burger and chips, and you get a Coke, water, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, whatever you want. And you get a popsicle. All right. Like a Lazy Lynx popsicle, right? Like little popsicle stand. So cool how it's all decorated out. Insane.
I was going to say at E3, they did something similar to that. They teamed up with In-N-Out, and then In-N-Out was like chefing up all the burgers. It was kind of sick. And they, you know, obviously they themed it out Fortnite style. Good to see them carrying, you know, taking care
of
them.
The burgers are so good. I've eaten there every day. I save money. Yeah, obviously. so that's been cool. Yep. Oh, and we played the putt-putt. Okay. So there's Lazy Lynx 9-hole putt-putt. And I played against the camera guys for Deserto, which was a blast, man. And it was a lot of fun. Like it's inside this building. Obviously they've had to like go in and make it into a putt-putt area. It's just cool. Like each hole has its own theme, and, you know, you get the burger that you shoot it up his tongue and it comes out, you know, and like,
I haven't seen too many photos of the setup I've seen like, complete mini golf and all this kind of stuff, but I haven't seen like, anyone post a video.
Yeah. I think they're putting out a video through Deserto, so I have to get it once they do it. It was a lot of fun. It was great. And it's everything's themed. So that was really cool. I mean, it's just been an awesome event, man. They really have gone out of their way, to really make everybody feel, you know, like a part of the community, right? And that this is everybody's own. Got some exclusive pins. They got some exclusive pack sprays that they're giving out. All the people. Here's a funny story. The first pro I ran into, Exotic Chaotic. Yeah. First guy I ran into, I was like, dude, I got to start kicking off some interviews here. And I was at the tent and they did a boogie down contest. So they if you want to do it, you sign up. They give you 1,000 free V-Bucks, I believe it is. They give you just for jumping on stage, and they give you a free a spray, the pack spray. And then you get a chance to win a blow up bus, right, with the balloon on it. And I don't know if he won that or not, but I'll tell you this. The thing is so big, it wouldn't fit in your hotel room if you blew it up. Okay. So like some of the pros are joking that they want to win it just to stick it on their house so everybody can know they play Fortnite for a living. But it's crazy. But you can buy it at Spencer's, I believe. This is not a promotion for Spencer's, but if you guys are interested, Spencer's has a ton of stuff here at the Fortnite show. Like
pickaxes. Yeah, I saw the shop. They had the pickaxes.
All kinds of cool stuff.
That's pretty cool.
But Exotic was dancing up there, and then he came off and he's like, wait a second, that's Exotic Chaotic. So got him in on an interview, but it was fun. It's been great, man, meeting everybody in the time that's been here. I hope everybody that's following or seeing the videos is getting to enjoy a little bit piece of it. It's obviously not as, it would be better if all you guys were here with us, but hopefully you're getting to experience a little bit of it behind all the pictures and videos. Well, without further ado, one thing I hope you guys can experience is some Sneak Energy. So let's kick over to our sponsor this week, Sneak Energy. I want to give a big shout out to the support for today's episode. It comes from Sneak In-Game Energy. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that in-game crash that you get from drinking all those sugary energy drinks, trying to stay up all night, playing the games with the boys, grinding out that Fortnite Battle Pass. But it sucks. And when it happens, it sucks. And Sneak has actually a better and healthier alternative. Sneak Energy is a completely sugar-free formula that gives you all your intense boosts without that crash. It's a powdered formula. It's packed with those vitamins, minerals, amino acids, you know, all that good stuff for your body, and enhances your focus and reaction times. Just add water, mix it up, start drinking it, enjoy it. Sneak is also way cheaper than those regular canned energy drinks at just 87 cents per serving. You can get, obviously, your boost for much less. Plus, they got some pretty serious flavors with Cherry Bomb, Blue Raspberry, and their Mystery Stealth Edition. For all the Fortnite podcast listeners, they have a special code for you guys. You can head over to wearesneak.com, use the code Fortnite for 10% off all your orders over $30. Again, guys, that is wearesneak.com, WEARESNEAK.com, just like it sounds. Use the code Fortnite at checkout for 10% off your orders over $30. Whatever it is, guys, whatever games you're playing, grinding out Fortnite for another night, getting ready for that next big title release, go ahead and fuel it with Sneak. While we're here, big news comes out. Big news, Monster, and that is High Stakes.
I've been seeing
The thing was, it was so funny because as I was talking about like going into the golf, the putt area, right? They had all these people dressed up in these masks. With like a club on, you know, like from cards, anybody that plays like actual like cards, like the game cards, like a deck of 52 mm-hmm. cards. You got diamonds, clubs, spades, and hearts, right? So I'm seeing all these guys with suits with these masks on. I'm like, what is this? Like I totally forgot about this, right? And I'm like, oh, wait, this is High Stakes. And so they have these guys everywhere, like all over packs. There's guys dressed up in suits with these.
Are they dressed in white suits or
so,
are they all
here? They're in gray suits with the white mask. So I don't, but gotcha. The game, obviously the advertisement on the game is white suits, right?
Well, if they're there in different colors, I was assuming that the skins they're going to release, they're probably going to have like different tucked up people. Cause you know, they always come
with styles. Yeah. So they definitely might be, but High Stakes is from we've seen a little bit today. Before I got started with the show, I saw a little preview they played at the tent. And basically, it looks like there's an objective mode. Okay, it's an LTM that's going to run where you have to get to the battle bus and take off the map. All right? So not only are you coming into the map, but there's an objective for your team to get to the battle bus and then take off with all the treasures, right, and all the loot. So super excited to see more about that. Like I said, we just saw a little
get stuff and then fight your way to the exit. I don't know, man. It sounds crazy, dude.
It sounds like a blast, right? How's that going to work with Storm?
It does sound like it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I'm excited. The other thing I saw today, real quick, was the new gun that's mentioned, the new plunger gun that's mentioned as well. You know, super excited to see how that works out.
I have not seen. So I didn't see the
on it actually.
I've not saw the offer, the art, or like any kind of gameplay on it. So I'm gonna have to launch Fortnite and definitely check that. Is it in the news tab already? Like it's official. Or is this just like all the speculation everyone's talking about?
I don't know if they have it up yet. Like I said, I literally just saw it. I literally just saw it, but yeah, I'm sure they're gonna drop a video today if they're releasing to the public.
Because you know how they always hit it with like the coming soon, and then bam, it's out. So I haven't seen it in the coming soon yet. So it should be around the corner sometime soon. Maybe when we see that, the date after that is going to be the patch that's going to bring the other changes.
It's going to be nuts. I just want to get your quick opinion of a couple of things that happened while you were gone. One being Rift to Go, bro. What is going on with this thing? How is it changing up the gameplay in the pro scene?
So it was crazy. Like the Rift to Go was released and a big patch happened where they changed the shotgun. You know, the pump got a buff and they changed the clingers. Yeah. They changed the C4. They did all these changes like the day before, 2 days before the skirmish. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, they just dropped a big patch before skirmish. I'm reading through the notes. And I'm like, wait, this patch is amazing. Like all these great changes. I was like, dude, this skirmish week is going to be dope. Yeah. Like no clinger change. All this. So first off, just great patch. Then the Rift to Go. So I didn't even get that much game experience with it, but I got to
see
some,
it.
Shoutcast. Yeah, the plays that you see these guys pulling out, it is a must-have in the inventory. And Storm Zone, game changer, top to bottom plays. If you got that bad RNG, the zone's over there. These guys Rift to Go with the Storm, just take their time. It is actually shaking up the competitive scene. It's a must-have item if you can pick it up. It can change everything in the end game situation.
What I really like about it is, you know, we have those situations where people are building off. Somebody gets a really good shotgun fight off, and then all of a sudden you turtle up for a second to try to heal or to try to get.
Yeah, you know you can use that in the air, right? Like you don't have to be playing it. Like it's any time, just save yourself. Rift opens up.
Like it's so cool. It gives a whole different avenue for you to disengage, like we've talked about many times, of a fight. Like maybe it's not going your way, or hey, maybe this I see this third party coming in, I'm getting out of here. Bam, you're gone, right?
It's crazy.
I did figure out a trick. If you do it on the ground and you drop a weapon, you're like, dude, I don't want to drop a weapon for this, but you need to rift out.
You can
pick up the weapon before you rift out. That's a day. Look, I'm dropping tips today, people. I'm dropping Too Loud tips. A lot of fun. What about the shockwave grenade, man? How about this one? Another, mobility.
I thought that was a nice little addition. I thought it was a great addition. It drops in stacks of two, right? So that's cool in its own that you take no fall damage, but more importantly, you break through structures. It's kind of crazy. Like I've seen some funny plays, and I actually use it kind of interestingly enough. I jumped down, like I was in a fight. I broke a ramp, and then I used a shockwave to just break my body through the rest of the ramp. And I threw down off a build battle because I used the shockwave to just like destroy just to plat the build fight. So I dismantled the whole build and it came down.
But
I used basically my head, my character. The shockwave is a great, great little addition. It is a nice way to take the impulse and then like make it 10 times better, right?
Yeah. One of the things, I love impulse nades. Always have. But one thing I always run into is like, I never predict it correctly, right? So I either go too high and then all of a sudden, when I'm going to engage, I fall off, take some damage. Maybe it's not a whole lot, but like, I'm always like, man, I need to get better at, throwing down a ramp when I'm going to land, to help out with all that. But, I really enjoy it because I can't take fall damage, like you said.
Yep. I also like how far it throws you. So, like, one of the key things of impulse is, like, chasing away from the storm or, just kind of traveling really far distances in a short period of time. This thing throws you two times further than a normal impulse. So, it's actually, like, really good just to have. You can use it in a lot of different situations.
Yeah, I also thought it was really crazy to see people using the cube to bounce themselves through the map and bounce themselves off things in the map. Have you seen that? Like people literally shooting themselves across the map, trying to get away from storm doing that thing.
Yeah. Cause the cube is powerful, man.
Thing is nuts. It is nuts.
I think it'll take you out too. Be careful.
Well, this week we also got a state of development update. Let's see if I have the correct audio here. Hold on one second.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another exciting dev update. We're going to dive on in. So in 5.4.0, we have the new concept called storm damage. The basic idea is the edge of the storm will do damage to player-built structures in the final phases of the game. Less than 10% of our matches are affected by this or make it that long. And so we're really trying to tactically adjust the final stages to provide a little more dynamic gameplay. We really look forward to your feedback on this feature, and we're excited to see how it plays out. In 5.4.0, we'll be vaulting the revolver. This is part of an initiative to keep the item pool feeling fresh and dynamic. In the past, you've seen that we've brought back the guided missile, which was vaulted for a period of time. So an item that is vaulted doesn't necessarily mean that it's gone forever. Using this as an initiative to keep the item pool fresh, exciting, dynamic, and we'll be targeting future updates, potentially season 6, as an opportunity to vault more items. In addition, in 5.4.0, we'll be adding a new mobility item, so we look forward to creative expression with that. We're also going to be updating some various balance parameters, such as item rarity. Remote explosive rarity is going to increase from rare to epic to match its effectiveness. And we're also going to be making some changes to item stack sizes in their drop rates. For example, the boogie bomb will now be dropping in a stack size of 2, whereas it was 1 previously. And one of our bigger changes, shields will be adjusted from a maximum stack size of 2 to a maximum stack size of 3. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. From everyone here at Epic, we'll see you next time.
So I didn't get to meet Eric this week. Unfortunately, he's still home doing awesome things like putting out the dev update. But along with the things he talked about real quick, there was some building effectiveness that's happening, lots of performance changes, some things where they talk about drop frames if you actually read the update. And 50 versus 50 mode, there's a bunch of drop frame ideas that they had or issues that they were having that they're bringing back into play. There's things with hitching. I know everybody's big about hitching and screen freezing, however you want to call it. But they are working on that huge update, and they made a big jump in 5.3. So definitely you should be seeing improvements there. They talk about they literally break all this stuff down. If you guys want to go read more about it, at Fortnite.com or EpicGames.com, you can read it there. They can talk about the Switch and how it's affecting the Switch directly, how it's affecting PS4 directly.
Yeah, there's all kinds of charts and stuff there. You guys can see the
nuts.
First of all, the progress that they've made, and then you know the changes that are to come. It's pretty big, what's it called? The state of development for the future of what they want to do. I actually cover that on the YouTube channel as well.
So go check out Monster's YouTube video about the state of development, guys, so you can get all the nitty gritty details.
I went through pretty much everything.
Yeah, they even talk about the competitive scene there. So go check it out. It's great stuff. He does a great job, obviously, chatting with his community while he's reading through those. So go check it out. To pinpoint a few of the top three things that Eric kind of pulled out for us there was storm destruction. Monster, they might not give you credit for this, but I, my friend, will give you credit for this idea. It was great. It was fantastic. And, you know, the moving circle idea, whether or not it actually came from us, we're going to claim it came from us too, as well. And now we're going to claim this one's.
We talked about all this stuff when we had Kenneth on here. We're talking storm ideas and. Yeah, it looks like a few ideas were adopted. And I think at some point in there, too, we kind of said, like, if you guys see this, just know it came kind of funny that they decided to take this route. So they're giving this idea a shot, the whole storm destruction. So if you listen to what he said, less than 10% of their games, less than 10%, that's, you know, less than 10 out of 100 games, actually even go that far to moving storm. So that's kind of crazy. For them to have already made the moving storm changes and people to find that frustrating, I would only imagine that now that the storm is going to break things, people are really not going to know what to do. It's going to be pretty sketchy. If you saw, I think there was like a little snippet it seemed like the stuff deteriorated quick. Like, it was like, gone. Whatever was there, just literally, like, the storm just crunched it and took it. So that's a game changer. I can't wait to test it. I really do believe that, forget high ground, dudes. When it gets that far, you going to be a mid ground. You want to be no higher than, like, four stories, dude. Max. If that. So four or five stories, no more 10-story endings. That's probably not going to be ideal at all. This storm looks dangerous.
I don't think you're going to get there anymore. I just don't think you're going to get there anymore. I think people are going to learn they need to make the adjustment before it starts. Because think about it. Like, if it's 1v1 and he knows you're up and he's on the ground level, he knows you have to fall. Like, you don't have a choice. He doesn't even need explosives. Yeah. He knows you're going to fall. So if you only have, like, one cube sitting outside and you just keep building while he's firing at you, then he knows, well, as soon as this hits 1 second, you're going to deteriorate and die anyways.
I think it's going to crunch down anyways. Yep. So, I mean, for me, it's more like, what's that going to do to the competitive scene? That's why I was talking, like, the new meta is going to be who can hold mid ground. Yeah. It's not even like who can really stay in that sweet spot in the middle and piggyback off the turtles, you know, at the bottom, you know, everyone moling across basically, who can piggyback off their builds and kind of float. It's really going to change how people rotate and play.
How important are mats going to be at the end of the mat? Not that they're already not important, but how, like, deadly important they're going to be if it gets to those circles, right?
Yeah, like, what you can't. So what we see now, and this is why they're making this change in the competitive scene with the whole storm zone moving thing, it definitely has changed how people fight and whatnot, right? Like, it really forces the initiative to fight, right? But what you'll notice is it'll go one way, then it'll go opposite way. What they'll do is they'll recycle their builds, right? Like, oh, lucky me, I get to run back across the, you know, the metal sky bridge I built. I'm going back. So they're recycling, saving mats, and not no more. Now it's like, yeah, that back there is gone. It's clear zone, dude. Oh, right? So, like, this thing's going to be so, like, it's going to be awesome for the competitive scene. We're going to see the field just open back up.
Well,
like,
we did see one game here. And, of course, all the Fortnite haters that happened to be around at the time, no names being thrown, but they were there watching, getting their free burger, because this is where you get the free food at PAX. And they're like, oh, look how this game ended. These three guys, whoever lived the longest, won, right? Because it literally closed and it was just damage because they were all stacked on top of each other, right? And literally the moment after that, came out the state of development. I'm telling you, like, it looked like they planned it to happen. Literally, like, I think it was 10 minutes later, I get a tweet that, oh, state of development just occurred. And then I see this and I'm like, hey, all you haters, here you go. Right here.
This is what, so that right there, it's going to change. Like, we just, like you just mentioned, coincidentally, there was a game that ended just like that. That's because that's a problem in the comp scene. It doesn't happen always, but when it does, this is going to make that never happen again. Not that way.
Super excited about it. Obviously, a cool change that will not affect a ton of games. Like you said, it won't affect a ton of games. But for the viewership and for the pro scene, it's going to affect the most. We have the Revolver getting vaulted. Bye-bye, Revolver.
I'm kind of cool with that. I think with them taking out the Revolver, that's one common, you know, drop that's not going to be around. More likely for you to pick a pistol, SMG, shotgun, which is what we want anyways, right? You want to land on something with a good fire rate, you know, for those early game encounters. So, you know, it's nothing worse than landing in your house, pick up the Revolver. You're like, dude, what am I going to do with this? Like,
if you miss your first shot and he's got anything else, you're dead.
Right. Exactly. So I think bolting the Revolver, it's with the Deagle on the map, like, well, by the time you get that hand cannon, you usually have a loadout. It's the hand cannon strong. So, you know what you're doing with it. I think the Revolver going away.
Can we talk
good.
About this real quick? There's something that happened when you were at the Summer Skirmish that has now forever changed currently the meta that's going on.
Okay.
Dual pistols and the new heavy shotgun have literally infiltrated the competitive scene since you were there. Like, I don't know what you did. I don't know if you told everybody they were good and they all get light bulb went off, but that's crazy. Like, I'm seeing it. Like,
remember
what's going on?
Remember when they changed and I talked about it, I was like, low key, like, the dual pistols are so meta right now. And people don't really realize when you see that DPS and the way it chunks through builds and, you know, once you feel the power, you know, you don't want to let it go. That's why you start seeing it, like, especially in the skirmish weeks, like these guys will blaze you down and they'll take so many walls off you. Of course, ideally you still want the drum gun and stuff. Your pressure game is a little bit better. It's a little more versatile, but man, if you got them dual pistols, you have a great loadout.
And what about the heavy shotgun? How has that all of a sudden just become the thing? Or not heavy. I'm sorry. The sawed off, the double barrel shotgun.
Yeah. And we had a lot of talks about double barrel. And what did I say? When you find the sweet spot, I said, give it a little more time. These guys are going to figure out how to use it. And it's going to, this Bro, is what happened. Now you see everybody rocking double barrel in game. And it is nasty in a good player's hands. It is disgusting. I would say shout out to Poach, really putting up and pioneering his loadout. He found the double barrel early on and liked it, realized his potential and stuck with it. And he is shining in these competitive games because he picked it up early. He's the most comfortable probably on the field with it. But you see how many dudes are running that. They get that double barrel and they feel invincible because they know you step in that box. And especially if you know he has a double barrel, you're going to eat it, dude. You're going to eat it and you're going to eat it good. And Vivid talked about it. He said when he hears it, he backs up. That's what everyone needs to do. But usually by the time you hear it, it's too late.
I'm telling you, I was sitting next to a guy today that literally made a play towards the end of the circle. 15 people left. He uses a jump pad, pushes him out, you know, right outside towards this guy. And he knew the guy was there and just double barreled his face. The guy had no idea what was going on.
That's right.
It has.
I've been running two shotguns. So instead of having a explode, like if my rockets are low, I'll run double barrel in there. And if I'm making one of those like pad plays or rift to go plays, when I land, instead of going for my typical heavy shotgun, I pull the double barrel up, like intentionally knowing that I'm just going to barrel stuff you. Then just, you know, AR spam you and then just go to my normal shotgun. It's been great, dude. I've actually been running double shotguns, but I'm keeping it in like my explode slot. You know, it's that extra. If I can hold it, it's such a good extra.
Oh man.
Kind of like having a minigun. Like it's just like when you pull it out, you get the opportunity. The minigun is just insane, right? Shredding through stuff.
Nasty.
Those situational, you know, those situations you can put yourself in, the double barrel, man.
Nasty. Anyways, didn't want to get too sidetracked. Last two things. Last thing is the item update. We saw the grappling gun today. I'm sure everybody will see it by the time this podcast comes out. Really cool. Basically, looks like it does take a weapon slot from what we saw. And it looks like that it's just like a plunger on a rope, right? And it pulls you to it.
Yep.
So that's going to be really cool. I don't know the distance of it yet, but we just saw a little clip.
There it is.
And then what is the importance of these things real quick and how are they going to affect the game? First one being the change in the rarity for remote explosives. What does a change mean? Most people won't understand. Why would they even care? Why do they care what the rarity is?
Yeah, so like I talked about this when I was covering the state of development review. When they change the rarity of an item, it actually affects the weapon pool balance in general. If it's going from blue to purple, yes, it's a nerf. It is actually a nerf because you're making something that would otherwise drop a little more common, a little harder to find because you increase rarity. It's a bit rarer. It's like saying, you know, think about how often you find a chug jug. Not often, but you'll find a lot of med kits, right? So that bump up changes the percentage of which it's on the field. Now, it doesn't take away how good it is. Like, it's still going to be very, very good. So if you find it, you know, it's going to be amazing because C4 is still very strong. So it is a step in the right direction. You don't want it everywhere on the field, but I think it still needs to change. It doesn't take away the fact of what it can do. Right? If you got a stack of three, you can basically guarantee you like one pick off if you use them all in one spot.
Well, so especially we'll because they didn't give it a buff too while you were gone.
It
was a bug, they said. It was supposed to be exploding everything around it in its radius, and it wasn't. So they fixed the bug,
right.
And now it blows up everything in its radius. So obviously, a little bit of buff, now rarity change, and I think you did a great job of explaining that there. Boogies are going to now stack times two.
I'm excited for that. Very excited for that. We need, like, I there's so many times where I have one boogie. I'm just like, dude, as much as I want to run this, like, three grenades. Like, I just get three opportunities, you know, to use explodes as opposed to one in free slot. Like, I don't want that. Two, I'm running boogies all the way. I love what you can do with boogie bomb. Boogie bomb is basically a stun grenade, you know, look at it that way. You stun your opponent. You can do some plays, dude. Like, it can get you out of weird situations. Don't bug yourself. But yeah,
that's usually my problem.
As long as you can.
I'm going to call right here. Eventually, you're going to see this stat go up to 3, I think. I think 3 would be a good.
I think it'd be broken.
Fun too, to see all these people dancing.
Holding 4 to 6, like if you could hold 6 bullies,
that's crazy. Yeah, that's nuts.
Right.
I'm saying 3. So, like, I think they're going to give it one more buff down the road.
You can hold up to 4. Imagine coming across somebody with 4 boogies and you're in a field battle. Beep, beep. It's going to be dinking you. Doop, shoot you, hit you again. You're going to be, you're done.
Oh, but those plays would be fun to see. They'd be a lot of fun to see.
It's going
to
be great. The boogie plays. That's going to be.
What about shield pots going times 3? This is the one I think.
That was a surprise. Nice. I think it was a pleasant surprise. I already feel like it's rare enough for you to come across multiple pots. When you do, it is always a bummer to leave one behind. And most of the time, people trade out like pots for how many minis they can hold. So I think that's part of the balance where they want people to feel like, carry these shield pots, man, because, you know, you can. And it's supposed to be the better mini shield. Mini shield, you know, the green item shouldn't be, like, outshining the blue, right? So that's kind of, I guess, where the balance lies. We all kind of know how good, like, Slurp Juice is. So Slurp's already great. Holding 2
love
of those, like, so much HP and 2 Slurps. That's in a good spot. I think 3 shield pots is sweet, too.
No, absolutely, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see these little changes that change up the meta. More than we know, like you said, even the rarity change, it's significant because of how it plays out on the field with everything that's there.
And think about it. If someone's holding 3 shield pots, what are the odds that now, like when you eliminate someone, they're more likely to have shield pots because people are traveling with them across the maps from, you know, longer distances and stuff. I mean, it may not be that significant, like everyone has one, but you're going to see them fall more often now because more people can actually.
And this, you, my friend, so, this is actually why Reddit loves you. Because you, my friend, think above and beyond.
Like this little change where it doesn't seem like it's that much, but watch, you're going to be eliminating people and it's like, he's got a pot, let's go, right? But it's because there's more just in the economy, at least traveling to the zones, to the PvP zones. It's going to make a difference. This is a great, like, subtle change that we didn't see coming, but, like, they thought of. And it was just like, oh, man, you know what? I'll take that, right? It's like nice quality of life.
Can't wait to see how they affect. Well, speak of all these tournaments, you shoutcasting, me coming here to PAX, talking to all these people, I want to get a quick tip before we get out of here on tournaments and how people should approach them going. So let's go ahead and jump into our tips and tricks. So quickly tell me, Monster, what is something as people go through, and you saw it last week as you were casting, I've seen it here, as you approach a LAN or a tournament, right? And these, you know, online tournaments obviously different than LAN, but how can you prepare yourself in a mindset? How can you kind of relieve some of that pressure and focus on the game? What are some things that you can say, like, hey, think about this, do this, focus on this as they step into those situations?
Yeah, for me, like, I'll just use my most recent experience going into the shoutcast for the skirmish. I just looked at it from the outside in, like, I do this every day, no matter what. Like, this is literally what I do. It is no different. We're just in a new setting. Just got to put your best foot forward, take a breather, and just get out there, right? So it's really about keep your cool, keep your composure, and have confidence when you step in there. And it's the same thing for a tournament, right? When I play these, these skirmishes, when I've been participating, the opportunities that I've had, I go in there, of course, you got the butterflies, like, dude, it's the real deal. You got one shot. But at the same time, all you got to say is, dude, play my best game, right? I'm here for a reason. And that's part of the reason why I've been able to, like, frag in situations. And, you know, I'm not, like, freaking trembling when I'm in a build battle, because it's just like, all right, it's another game of Fortnite, man. Let's have some fun with it and, you know, take it as a learning experience. You'd be more bummed if you beat yourself up over every single thing and, you know, you were too critical on yourself. So you can't just be too critical. You really have to just go in to have fun and really it's about, like, mental preparation for sure.
Well, bro, I really appreciate you jumping on here with me later than normal on the Fortnite podcast, obviously here at PAX, guys. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Let Monster know how much you enjoyed his casting last week. Go ahead and let me know if you're enjoying any of the PAX content that we're throwing out your way. And, you know, as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Shoot us a review on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you guys are listening. Leave us some comments and file your complaints over at thefortnitepodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you like and what you dislike about the show. Monster, tell them, as always, where they can find you throughout the week.
You guys can find me at MonsterDFace across all social medias on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch TV, and especially YouTube. YouTube for all my content. Now verified on Reddit, so you'll see me at MonsterDFace on Reddit as well. So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Guys, thank you so much. You can follow us, like you said, on Twitter. I'm TooLoudTX. He's MonsterDFace. You can follow us at The Fortnite Podcast. And as always, and until next time, dance out those kills and boast in those victory royales.